Hello, Royals fans. Happy New Year to everyone. Thanks for joining us on this week's podcast. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at Eastern Mennonite University. I want to welcome you to the new year and to the start of the second semester. I'm joined once again this week by James DeBoer, our Sports Information Director. Things are gearing back up again. The gym floor is refinished. It still smells a little bit, but after you're in it for about 5-10 minutes, you don't even think about it, and all of the danger has gone out. That was gone weeks ago, but I'm sure people who walk in will notice the aroma of the wax that's on there. I know you did, James, when you came in today, but maybe I'm used to it by now. Athletes are back. Basketball players are back anyway. Been back for a while. Sort of a strange schedule of games. Not able to get a lot of time off. They had more time off before Christmas than after. Now it's been a little bit with the women playing on Thursday. I keep forgetting what day of the week we're in here. They played on Thursday, men playing on Friday, and then we kick things back in next week. But again, even beginning of next week, some non-conference games until we get started again. So catch us up to date on what we've had in the last little while, at least basketball-wise, with the one game on Monday and whatever else you've got on your in store for us today.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting stretch over Christmas, a big break in games, as you mentioned. The women had a long layoff. Well, of course, both teams had a long layoff, but the women played at Johns Hopkins Thursday. You might not see that on your printed schedules if you grabbed one of those. That was one that was added later because they were short a game in the schedule. And I know that Coach Griffin was happy to add a team. He's probably hoping to add someone who wasn't quite as good as Johns Hopkins. They're a very good team. But the bottom line is our women just kind of struggled at a couple of things, and one was shooting the ball and the other one was rebounding. And it's kind of hard to come out on top when those are the things you struggle with. And they made just 1 3-pointer, which was a season low for them, shot 1 of 15 from 3-point range. They were in it most of the game. They trailed by double digits at one point, but fought back to within single digits, but just couldn't make the next step. So it's been a couple of games now for the women, and their offense just hasn't quite been in sync. I'm very interested, at least, to see what happens. Next week they have one more non-conference game against Washington Adventist, and then after that it's ODAC the rest of the way out. We'll talk about the men in a bit. They have a similar deal coming up. But it's just interesting. They've got to work through whatever they're trying to work through on offense and get back into high gear, because the ODAC season, the quote important season, is starting right up next week, Saturday. So we'll see how they do. Again, they lost to Johns Hopkins. Tuesday they play host to Washington Adventist, and it's ODAC the rest of the way out. And there's definitely some surprises on the ODAC side of things. We'll continue to talk about that throughout the year. But one of the big surprises is Randolph-Macon for the women, a team that kind of struggled last year, ended up with a pretty low seed in the ODAC tournament at the end of the year. And it's mostly the same team with one transfer player who came from a D1 school in Utah. And the women's basketball team from Randolph-Macon is very good. I think they just have one loss this year, scoring a ton of points, much more than we're scoring. And they're ranked, I think, number 20th in the nation right now. So that should be awful interesting. I'm very glad we only play them once this year, and I'm very glad that we host that one. So that should be interesting. Just circle Tuesday, January 28th for Randolph-Macon coming to town. But that's a little look at the women. They're trying to get back. Also very excited to see that Steph Reinheimer finally got back on the floor Thursday night. She had missed a number of games since spraining her ankle in just the second game of the year, November 16. It was one of those things that just kind of, you know, I'm close to coming back. It seemed right, like she kept on saying it just never happened, and finally she got back out on the floor. So it's good to see her back out there.
Well, one of the things that we've talked about here numerous, just about every year, I think, is this: how to handle the semester break in terms of playing. For freshmen, they're not used to having to come back and play. Yes, in your high school, but you may have had a few practices or maybe played in a Christmas tournament. But here they're going for long stretches of one practice a day. So a two-hour practice, and then they're here for the rest of the time. They're not with their family. And it's this you expect it out of Division I. You know that Division I, they're going to maybe get Christmas Day and something else off. And it's pretty much it's your full business. That's what it's all about at the Division I level. Division III level, it's supposed to be about the academics first, and which it is, and yet you run into this kind of a situation where we can't really afford to try to be the best that you can be, you can't really afford to just take the whole vacation off. And so now you have to stage it. And like you said, they had some time off before Christmas, and then you come back, and nobody ever works as hard, even if they're in their own high school gym shooting or something like that. You're never really working as hard. And then you come back, and how do you do it? So you pick up at Johns Hopkins. When you come back, you know you're going to be a little rusty, especially playing on the 2nd of January, because he tried to give him off a little bit on the 1st. But it's just – and it's interesting to see how they're going to respond to that. It's all about the academic piece coming first, but then over this break, all of a sudden it becomes basketball only. And how they respond to that, and clearly it was obvious they didn't, they couldn't shoot the ball. 1 for 15 from one three-pointer for that team. It's probably a low for a couple of years, far as I would know. So, again, and they also have a lot of moving parts. If you talked about good to have Steph back, but they've got a lot of moving parts in and out. They can do a lot of different things. If Bianca's in there for a while, and then you got Shaq, and you got some other pieces that are there, and they played for a while without Steph. So how does that manage into it? So it will be interesting to see how they respond to getting ready for ODAC play and the stretch, but also to see how they begin to really solidify as to who they are. And part of the preseason, quote preseason, although we've had some conference games, is to sort of see how that works. So it will be fun to see where they go. I know he's pushing them hard, and they want to be the best they can be. I think their focus is going to be on winning the ODAC tournament is what they're going to head for.
Then over on the men's side, they actually have a longer break than the women do. Their last game was December 14, that was a Saturday, and they play tonight, Friday night, as we record this, and so it's almost a three-week break of games, so you've got the weird issue for them, too, or the huge break and practicing and et cetera, et cetera, and they play two non-conference games, with one tonight and one this coming Monday before they hit back into the ODAC schedule. So it's interesting, again, I think we talked about this a bit a few weeks ago, a successful first half of the year for the men, because they had a lot of unknowns, a lot of new starters, and even some new people in key positions, new to the program, et cetera, et cetera. And to play, you know, right around 500 ball in the first half of the season is pretty good. They played well against a very good North Central team at that the Don Glick Clacks down at Bridgewater. So they've played very well at times and still finding their identity as well. But they play Virginia Lynchburg tonight, which I don't know if Kirby knows a lot about them, but they seem like a big unknown to me, at least. They're not a D3 team. They're in kind of I don't know what you call it, Dave. You're a little more, you know, organized and PC, but it seems like the rogue organization that they're part of. The Virginia Lynchburg is part of the, I think it's the USCAA, or it's whatever that Southern Virginia has belonged to in the past until they transferred up to D3 this year. So it's a little bit different of a setup, with not a lot of common opponents. And from my aspect, there's not a lot on their website. There's nothing updated, so I can't figure anything out from there. So it'd be very interesting. They're a tall team kind of across the board, so that should provide some matchup problems for our guys. So interesting to see how they do against that. They play a host to Goucher then on Monday before they jump into their ODAC schedule. And for the men, they're going in hard, I think, to the ODAC schedule. Their three ODAC games starting off the second half are Randolph on the road, hosting Hampton Sydney, and hosting Bridgewater. And I know on the men's side, you could say every game is a hard game, and Kirby will tell you that. But I think that's a really tough way to start out. Randolph is really solid team this year, even without Colton Hunt, who graduated last year and did so much for them. They're still a really good team. Sydney is one of the top teams in the nation, very balanced as they have been for years now. And then Bridgewater. You can always say, well, you know, we throw everything out the window and we play Bridgewater. Bridgewater is a very good team, I think, and watching their talent level increase over the last couple of years, I think they're going to be a really tough matchup. Glad we get that first matchup with them at home this year.
Yeah, well, if some people have asked, that's probably the most common question I've been asked is, who's this Virginia University Lynchburg or whatever it is? And did a little research last night, found out they were founded in 1886.
Yeah, they've been around
for quite a while. I think they were a seminary and Bible college at some point along the way with a Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when they've made the switch, and they did participate in a Christian college tournament, I believe, last year. But I don't know how you found out they were a tall team, because I haven't found the roster yet. So maybe you got it.
I need the roster for what I do. So.
Well, I know you need it somewhere, but I couldn't find it right away. But it's just – Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they and no one will know whether the schedule, how it impacts. Does it help them? Does it hurt them? All of that.
Yeah.
It is really strange, though, to have this much time off and to be in practice this long and not have the competition that's there and then to play two back-to-back on a Friday and a Monday. I mean, it's just now that gives you, you know, needing to almost practice on Saturday and Sunday. It's just awkward. And I'm sure it's not the kind of schedule you'd love to lay out, but as we found in the past, and so I usually make a disclaimer that I don't make the schedules out. The coaches make the schedules out, and it is an interesting point of conversation when you talk to coaches, no matter what the sport is, in terms of how they go about building their schedule, because each coach is trying to build their schedule for the best that they have, and they want home and away, and who are they willing to go on the road to play, and who do they want to have at home. And so there's my guess is there's quite a bit of negotiation going back and forth, particularly when you get to the non-conference game. So it will be interesting then to see what happens. They're still starting next year. They've extended the what used to be the 200-mile limit in terms of one of the concerns that a lot of our teams have is playing teams that are considered to be in region.
Right.
And there's such a thing as your geographic region, and then anything within 200 miles is also called an in-region game. And so each sport has a little bit of a different region, but we are usually at the northernmost point of a southern region. So in basketball, our region goes from Virginia all the way down south and then to the west, to Texas. So we could play a team in Texas and it would be an in-region game. But we couldn't go to Elizabethtown and play Elizabethtown because they're more than 200 miles. And that doesn't count as an in-region game. Next year, that 200 is extended to 500. And so that should really help us out in terms of being able to do that. So we have had difficulty in getting people from outside of our region to come play us anything over 200 miles. So it is, and we have basically everybody that's in the Virginia that's Division III. We play them anyway, with the exception of the ones that we usually pick those up non-conference. So it isn't, putting together a schedule is not as easy as it looks. And particularly with the non-conference, with all of the politicking that goes back and forth and who do you want to play where and when and home and away and balancing that out and trying to get somebody really just the right kind of team, whatever your philosophy is for the beginning of the season, getting the right kind of a team at the right location for when you come back from a break, all that kind of thing goes into it. So we'll see how that works out. Again, like I say, it's not really what they would have liked, but they've been practicing hard. I do know that. And hopefully these are two teams that they can polish things up a little bit before they get started in the ODAC. And then everybody else, next Monday, everybody else kicks into high gear.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, we're talking schedules so much. All of the spring sports schedules are now online at umuroyals.com. Baseball, softball, men's volleyball, they're all up. We'll try to get an article out in the next week or so, just kind of highlighting some of the games. But you're welcome to go to the sports home pages and look at the schedules. Men's volleyball, of course, is the one that starts first. They're coming up a couple weeks into January. So they'll start up first and also be on the lookout for a release of the conference poll from the Continental Volleyball Conference that we're a part of. That should also be coming out hopefully in the next couple of days.
Yeah, we hope to, one of these next couple of weeks, we hope to have Dom Porter, our men's volleyball coach, on with us for a podcast. They will start on Monday the 6th with their practices. Indoor track and field will start their practices on the 6th, and then the following week on the 13th or whatever that is on that Monday, baseball and softball will begin. And then the gym will be packed from 4 o'clock until midnight with activities going on. So we are ready to gear it up. The other thing that impacts that we have to at least mention is the fact that every year at this time, there's always there's typically some students who are unable to return for second semester. Some of them are student athletes, whether that be for financial reasons, whether that be for academic reasons. And we don't have all of that information yet. So that's another thing that could impact the team. You'll most notice it if somebody runs into that situation in basketball, but the same is happening with baseball, softball, men's volleyball, et cetera. So we are working hard at those things. Like I said, some of them are financial. They get behind, and our policy here is you're not allowed to register for classes until you've paid the bill from the first semester. And sometimes it just it's really tough for some of these kids and their parents, and then they got to wait for sometimes the FAFSA and get the tax returns back and all of that. So it is something that coaches do have to deal with. And then there are some who, even after the first semester of their freshman year, have just decided college isn't for them. So there are adjustments that will be made in almost all of the rosters. I haven't seen the final report, but as we enter into it, there's certainly excitement about the start of the spring sports, even though we are in January and there's some snow on the ground. And but we try to get ready for it. It is an exciting time because of all that's going on, and we look forward to that as well. So yes, check out the schedules, get prepared for that. Check out the basketball schedule. A lot of good stuff coming up here. It'll be fairly consistent now. I know the first part of December, November, inconsistent in terms of your schedules. You pretty well count on a Wednesday and a Saturday going on now, and times might be a little different. Almost all the conference games are scheduled on the Wednesday, and then the teams have the opportunity to move them, one to a Tuesday. Typically, one of them is moved to a Tuesday, and the ODAC, the board of directors, actually put some policies in place for that so that it isn't always the women that are moved to Tuesday or always the men that are moved for Tuesday. And on a Saturday, if you're having a doubleheader, it isn't always the women who play first. Sometimes it's the men. So pay attention to schedule, but it will be pretty consistent. Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, you can figure out there's going to be something going on. Not a lot of weird Monday games, not a lot of weird Sunday games as we had this last time. So check it out and make sure you come out and visit us anytime. We'd love to have you come visit us, watch a game, have some good halftime activities coming up during some of those with some of the jump rope teams from the local area here, and jump on the bandwagon, and then we'll have a lot of other stuff going on. Have some exciting men's volleyball coming up, particularly into February, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So, well, I certainly hope that you folks that are listening have had a wonderful holiday season with your family and friends. Hopefully you have been able to experience the true joy of the season and in some way bring that into your life in a way that will allow you to experience that joy throughout the coming year as well. Safe travels for all of you that are returning back to campus in the next couple of days, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. Until then, make it a great week.